Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It's time now for Light for the Pathway with W.A. Thompson.
And once again, we greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we consider this thought, I want to encourage you to know that the scriptures tell us that the Christian is light. Ye are light and ye are salt. Now, in being light in a world of darkness of sin, we will stand out when we stand for the Lord. There is no way of getting around this. We don't want to put the light under a bushel, under a basket, or mask the light, or hide it. We put the light shines in the darkness, and the light is different from the darkness. All who are in the darkness can see the light. And it is not that the light is making an announcement of itself. It is a characteristic of the light to stand out in the night. And how is it that we are to be light? Now, you take in consideration what the Lord said concerning the fact that we are salt. Salt will do something to the food into which it is placed. Light will do something to the night as it's shining. And the Christian, living for the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the light of the world, and then in turn we, in Christ and Christ in us, has made us to be the light of the world, then the Christian is going to make a difference. He is going to make a difference, or she is going to make a difference, because of the characteristics of the Christian. There will be a difference. So the Lord has told us what light will do and what salt does, and we cannot and should not endeavor to hide that. Now, there are some who will say, well, I'm a Christian, and I will just let the world find out about it. But this is, when you speak, you are to speak for Christ. When you live, you are to live for Him. When you serve, you are serving Him. It is His name that we seek to make known, and not our own. We seek to make His name known and none other than His name. He is the one who is to be exalted. And we are, as He said in the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1, that we shall be witnesses unto Him. And when the Holy Ghost is come upon you, ye shall be witnesses unto me. This is the Lord Jesus speaking. He was speaking to the disciples. And when the Holy Ghost is in our lives, and He is in the life of every Christian, if you are not indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God, then you are not going to heaven. You're not saved. You must get that matter settled before you can accept the fact that you are in God's family. If you do not accept this truth that you are in God's family, then you can get that settled by finding out how to get into God's family. And that is, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. So if you will trust Him, receive Him, you are brought into a right relationship with the living God. And being in this right relationship, you are going to do things that will be contrary to the way the world wants them done. You will do things contrary to the way the world wants them done, because the world is in darkness and in sin. Now, we will address our needs to the Lord. We address our needs to Him and to none other. And when we call upon the Lord, we make our needs and requests known unto the living God. Dear Heavenly Father, we do pray Thee to help us to be faithful, and we pray Thee to help us to do Thy will, to bring glory unto Thy name. For Thou, Lord, art God, and beside Thee there is none else. And so, Father, we pray that we shall be the light of the world, as Thou hast said it, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Now let's continue in looking at the book of Exodus chapter 40. And this is the culmination of all the things the Lord has been bringing Moses to. He has been bringing this matter of the tabernacle. We have seen a great five chapters now, these closing chapters, five before that, telling about the tabernacle. And now in verses 40, chapter 40, verses 1 through I think around 38 or so, the Lord speaks to Moses and he tells him when to do this matter concerning the tabernacle. On the first day of the first month shalt thou set up the tabernacle of the tent of the congregation. Now notice this, that the calendar started, the time clock started when they left Egypt. When the Lord said the night of the Passover was to take place, this was to be their first day. And now the Lord is saying this is to be the first day of the first month shalt thou set up the tabernacle. So everything revolves around God. Time starts, your worship starts, your life starts, you start living when you are brought into God's family and when you are doing things His way. And then He tells Moses how to set the tabernacle up, what things are to be there, and once these things are there, how they are to be consecrated unto the Lord. There is a very definite order laid out. And care must be taken to see to it that they do things according to the way the Lord said they are to be laid out. In chapter 40, verses 1 through 8, again, he shows them where the things, the furniture, how things are to be placed in the tabernacle. In verses 9 through 11, he tells him how to anoint it. And I will read these verses. And thou shalt take the anointing oil and anoint the tabernacle, and all that is therein, and shall hallow it, and all the vessels thereof, and it shall be holy, and thou shalt anoint the altar of the burnt offering, and all his vessels, and sanctify the altar, and it shall be an altar most holy. And thou shalt anoint the laver, and his foot, and sanctify it. And so indeed the Lord tells them how to set apart these pieces of furniture and these items that were to be used to be set apart unto the Lord in the manner that he has described to them. And care must be taken to see to it that you do things according to God's pattern. And then there was the anointing of the priests in verses 12 through 15. You're to bring Aaron and his sons to the door of the tabernacle of the congregation and wash them with water. And thou shalt put upon Aaron and the holy garment, and anoint him, and sanctify him, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. And thou shalt bring his sons, and clothe them with coats. And thou shalt anoint them, as thou didst anoint their father, that they may minister unto me in the priest's office. And in their anointing shall surely be an everlasting priesthood throughout their generations. So you can see again that even the person who comes to the Lord has to be and in the Lord's service, has to be one who is set apart unto holiness. Now, there are three times the word holy appears in this 40th chapter when it's dealing with setting things in order for God's service. In verse 9 of chapter 40, the vessels, all the vessels, notice what he said, the anointing oil, you'll take the anointing oil, anoint the tabernacle and all that is therein, and shalt hallow it, consecrate it, set it apart, and all the vessels thereof, and it shall be holy. Verse 10, thou shalt anoint the altar of the burnt offering, and all his vessels, and sanctify the altar, and it shall be an altar most holy. And verse 13, and thou shalt put upon Aaron the holy garments, and anoint him, and sanctify him, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. Notice this, please, that the man Aaron is not serving Aaron's cause. The man is serving the cause of God. As an old preacher said one time to me, when he was told by someone to do something that was unbiblical, he said, "I will have you to know that the ones I'm preaching to are not the ones I'm preaching for." I like that. And we must never forget that as preachers and as servants of the Lord, when we're witnessing to people, we're not witnessing for them. We're witnessing Christ. When we are preaching the Word of God, we are serving the Lord God. We are preaching for Him, and we should not preach for the people. Now, if I say preaching for them, we'll preach for their good, but we're not hirelings to the people. We are God's servants, set apart by God, called to speak for Him. That's the way the Lord has established this matter here for Aaron. He is to have the holy garments. Now, we speak of that when we think of the qualifications of a man of God, one who is to have a righteous outward appearance, a righteous upstanding testimony in his community and his own conscience and in his own family. This is the way the man of God is to live. He is to be set apart unto the Lord, and he is to minister unto the Lord. He is to serve the Lord. We must never forget that. If we ever think that we're preaching for people, we'll find ourselves going in circles and going back on God, looking for what is the thing that pleases the people. Now, we minister to the needs of the people. And as a man serves the Lord directs that man's steps in serving Him. As the scriptures say, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and He delighteth in His way. And so the Lord would have you and me who are in His service to know that the Lord will direct our steps. Now, what constitutes a good man? A man who is in whom the Spirit of God dwells. He is indwelt by the Holy Spirit. He is given his life to serve the Lord. Now, you can be good in the eyes of people, but again, the eyes of the people are not the thing that's going to matter in the end, is it? When you go to stand before God, He will not beckon, He will not seek a character witness for you to speak in that day. He needs no one else to speak. He alone knows all things and every motive. And as a servant of His, set apart, seeking to serve Him, being surrendered and yielded unto Him, wearing this garment of His righteousness, not our own. Notice it was the Lord who provided the garment for Aaron. Notice it was the Lord who instructed Moses to anoint Aaron. Notice it was the Lord who instructed Moses to sanctify Aaron. And notice it was for the Lord that all of this was to be done. So our work, our service is to be done unto the Lord, and we will do this to bring glory to His name and not our own name. Our Heavenly Father, we ask for the blessings of the Lord upon today's message. We pray Thee to strengthen, for Jesus' sake. Amen.